G'day sports fans, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sports by Fry podcast, a Thursday evening edition of the SBF pod coming at you late in the evening, featuring none other than J-Lo. We talk plenty of fantasy footy on today's episode. I dive into some of the biggest questions plaguing fantasy coaches this preseason, talk about some of the pracky games we've seen, the rucks, a lock in every line for our fantasy sides at the moment. And then we dove into looking at players who are 30 or older, or the blokes that are going to turn 30 this season. I did cheat slightly, and shout out to Jagger O'Meara for his birthday tomorrow, officially joining the 30-year-old club. But usually there's a bit of a negative stigma attached to blokes who are 30 years old. So we talked about all the relevant veterans of the league from a fantasy standpoint. I did tease a big mention on the last episode, and I was going to discuss it with J-Lo, but I am launching a Patreon. Now, it's Fantasy Sports by Fry, so the aim is to try and turn this into a bit of a community. It's not really designed for me to make a shitload of money. It's kind of for me to put a bit more skin in the game. There's going to be comprehensive rookie coverage. I'm talking depth charts, tiers for rookies that you can start and ones to watch throughout the season. So I'm going to get the ball rolling on that early next week, so stay tuned to the socials to check that out. But yeah, exciting times at Sports by Fry HQ. I'm really keen to get that running. So let's dive into today's episode with none other than J-Lo. The boys are back Thursday night, sitting down for another Sportsby pod. So it's only fitting for me to let everyone know. How you going, J-Lo?
Yeah. Thanks for letting everyone know. How am I going, J-Lo? No, I'm great, mate. It's a pleasure to be back. Excited. We are so tantalizingly close to some footy. We get a bit of it. Well, we've already had a bit of it.
Yeah,
we had the Melbourne-Richmond game.
It's been scrappy.
Well, you know, it's preseason, mate. But it's just, yeah, it's just nice to be back around it.
Yeah, I'm not mad about it. We've got 20 days till the fantasy season starts. We do obviously have the preseason in full swing now, though. I reckon we'll bounce through a couple of topics today, but I do want to touch on some of the older dudes in the AFL fantasy realm. Some of the blokes not getting love, but there are a lot of popular questions circling the fantasy world at the moment. Before we dive into the nitty-gritty, though, how's the Chris Borlaugham boys looking? Confident 20 days out?
Yeah, of course, mate. It's I've got fucking Carl.
Still got a rogue midfield.
Yeah, I've got Carl Lame on in my side. Perfect. So it's all good, mate. Who knows? It's they're just, we need preseason to give us some answers.
Well, that does tie in very well to the first question. It's how much do we value these like preseason scores compared to what we've seen last year? Because there's blokes that are going to run out there and dominate. Like, for example, I watched a bit of the Gold Coast-Brizzy clash, and Zach Bailey was going off. And I was like, of course he is. There's no Lachie Neal in the team. So there's still a lot of these big dogs missing. But do you still think we can learn something like valuable fantasy-wise from these pre-season games?
Yeah, I'm not looking at scores. Wish I'd looked at Errol Goulden's score a little bit more closely last year, though. You know?
So well, for what it's worth, I think he had like 20-plus touches in a half a footy.
Yeah, look. Anyway. So anyway, like every year, half of it sticks, half of it doesn't. Just like I don't know if I was saying it to you on the pod or off air, that you only can take 50% of what was happening at the end of last season into account. You know, like so much changes in a preseason, new players in, players leave, players just come back way better. So all I really want to see is structure. I want to see who's starting where, how often, and how, and sort of then ask how reliable is that.
Where they're playing their minutes is probably more telling than like how many touches they get or what their fantasy score is at the end of the scrimmage.
And every year there's those players who you're like, oh, far out. He started midfield all preseason, now he's forward fucking pocket. You're like, what happened? But you still, the guys that you are on the fence about, you can glean a little bit. You can glean a little, mate.
Well, have you got any of those blokes like squarely in your microscope for the next couple of preseason games? Because you and I would have blokes in the team that were like locked away. Kitty Coleman, speaking of, I think you had like 25 and three quarters, looked great.
Yep.
But are there any blokes that you're kind of on the fence that you're watching more closely over, not even necessarily these practice games, because like I said, it's a bit all over the shop, but when the preseason, the official one game preseason gets underway, who's under the microscope?
Oh, look, I don't like to give away all my secrets, but pretty much anyone who's in that 800 to 600K range in the midfield, I'm looking at, you know. So, example, Carl Amon is in my team right now. Whether he stays, I don't know, but I would say those, the crew in that area. So that's, and I'm sure everyone kind of feels that similarly. Rookies, you kind of go, whatever, you're a bloody rookie.
Yeah, until the teams are announced, you're a bit like, whatever.
Yeah, the guys like Sardis, I've got Elijah Hewitt in my team. That's more of a fun thing right now. But, you know, those guys, Cam McKenzie's floating around my forward line, even Finn McRae. Yeah, just want to see where they're starting and just how they look, you know, like you. We were talking about how good Campbell Chesser literally looks right
physically.
Now.
Physically.
So, you
almost
know,
as good as Ruben Ginby.
Yeah, does that matter? We'll find out. We'll see where he's starting. But he's getting regular snaps in an interesting... Or if he's playing an interesting role, I'm not starting with Campbell Chesser, but...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Petitioning for all the Campbell Chesser fans out there.
Yeah.
The bloke Chessers. That I've narrowed in on, and he's been in and out of my team over the last week or two, is Jack Steele.
Okay.
Because I'm like, when we first picked our team, everyone had him. And I'm like, he's done nothing wrong. He hasn't like skipped any sessions by the sounds of it. He's averaged 110, 120 before. Mm. Like, we don't necessarily need him to go out and do that. He's priced at 98. He might be able to go out and churn out like 10 points even, like close to better. Mm. So, yeah. I'll be watching him very closely. Well,
while we're on this, do you write for me to stuff the segue?
Absolutely. Yep.
Do you have any of those guys, Alex, in your side that you are looking at as just like, this is what they averaged last year, and that's what I hope that I get from them again? Do you have any of those like, I'm putting this guaranteed 105 away? They might not have the growth potential, but I know what I'm getting.
Probably Andy Brayshaw.
Yep. Okay.
Only because I'm thinking he was used a lot on like an outside. Like there was times where he started on the wing for the Dockers last year.
Okay.
And I'm like, surely, I mean, a fit Fifey probably eats into everyone's midfield minutes somehow. But I'm like, he's one of like those. He nearly won a Brownlow like a couple.
Playing any midfield, mate?
I think he is.
You reckon?
Yep.
Oh, well, you.
He's playing all of it, mate. Like all preseason, he's been training with the mids, training the house down. He's fit. He's firing. Hey, just needs to get through 20 more days, and he'll be in my team.
Okay. Well, I hope so, Fifey.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, sorry.
Dacos might be the other one as well.
Yeah.
Nearly 110, but I'm like, I'm just banking on him being that much better than any other defender.
Yeah.
So they're probably the two big dogs that I've got in there, but Maxi Gawn's underpriced. There's a lot of, and I think everyone wants this, right? In your starting team, you want value. You want dudes that you think can go a bit better. Ruck department is where we find a lot of value. I obviously just mentioned Gawney. I've got Grundy in there as well. You're still rocking the Marsh-English combo?
Good question. Haven't looked at it in a while.
Because you were petitioning hard for... So.
Yeah, I am.
Two of the top three scorers from last year staying right up there.
Yeah, I just can't see any other ruckman equaling it. And we sort of talked about it last pod. It's, do you think the gap between Gawn and Rowan is going to be make upable with another good midfielder or a good backman? And Gawney didn't look great in that Richmond game. You can't take too much out of it.
Yeah, only played a half.
He didn't look great.
So I think you then provide the perfect person to answer this question. Because there's three really value picks in the ruck department. Gawn, Grundy, and Tristan Cherry, who looked pretty good against the Pies.
Okay.
Again, preseason, take half of it with a grain of salt. But we've seen him score pretty well before.
He's a good
when
scorer.
Goldie's not playing.
Yep.
And off the top of my head, I reckon he averages like 71 in the like three games he played without Goldie in the ruck last year. Got hurt.
Yep.
Had 25 at quarter time when he did get injured. So out of that trio, if you can only pick two, where do you reckon the value lies? Granted, there is obviously the price difference between the trio.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's Tristan worth?
580 off the top of my head. I'll get it up officially.
Oh, that's juicy.
Which is exactly 580, which is very, very juicy.
That's very juicy.
80K less than Grundy. Mm, call it nearly 100. And then about 100, 250 cheaper than Gawn. Mm. So which... Because you can't have all three. There's some coaches that have seen stuff on social media. They're like, maybe, you know.
Triple value play.
He's like, going to be huge value. I know he's going to play two games when Gorn and Grundy are out. It's just like guaranteed money. I don't need the points. I'm like, that seems like a dice roll. So I think, yeah, two as your on-field rucks is the best shout. So which two should we pick?
Oh, wow. Really good question. Because I do think Jerry, when he's doing his own thing.
Me too.
He's bloody good.
Yeah, like, I'm genuinely questioning it apart for myself. I'm like, yeah. I don't really know which direction to go in. I think they're all value picks.
I would rank value into, I would go probably Grundy. Just that's based on past. Here's a bloke that we need to see in the preseason.
Or looked pretty good. He played against GWS today. It was like played pretty much the whole game. Pretty aggressive. Played against Briggsy.
Yep.
For the whole game. Okay. I think he gave away a shitload of free kicks, but that's because he was like tackling his hole out.
Good on him.
So we want him tackling.
I would rank it Grundy, Cherry, Gorney. Gorney's the one I absolutely see what everyone's saying.
Mm.
That's the one I've got the least faith in. I don't know what it is. He's old. I don't really know what the D's are. Like, are we?
They're expecting, going through some shit as well, really.
Yeah. Do we think they're going to be the D's that we've come to expect in the last? I mean, actually, they're only like that for like 1.5 seasons.
In the top four mix for what feels like 5 years, but let's call it three.
But they're not. It's not like they're Richmond.
Nah, that's
dynasty. True. You know, we sort of treat them that way because they broke through and got one premiership. I don't know. I don't know.
D's fans are coming for you, man.
Yeah. You guys were bloody good, but I think maybe we're giving him a bit too much latitude. So, yeah, Gorney's the lowest for me in that trio. Where do you stand out?
I think part of the reason why I've got him in my first ruck spot is because I'm banking a bit on that prior value. But he is 32. I'm like, not a spring chicken anymore. He's the captain of the club, so you expect him to be out there every week. But I'm like, done a knee previously.
He's done
like,
an ACL. Oh.
Cherry's obviously also had his own injury problems, but... Yeah, I feel like I'd rather invest a bit more capital because I've seen Gorn do it before.
Yeah, and I guess with Gorney, it's a bit of a safe one because if it fucks up or if he misses a week or if he's just looking crap, he's worth a fair bit. You can lateral to Grundy or Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they're going well. And, you know, you've probably got a bit of money to play with or, you know, you're a little bit more safe. If you're at Cherry and it doesn't go well, you're sort of stuck there, and that's going to be a bit of a mission to pin back.
You know? I think that is a fantastic point and one that I had not thought of. So, yeah, I think I'll stick with Gorn and Grundy, but definitely have half an eye on Cherry. Someone to target in draft.
Yeah, I've definitely got half an eye on him now.
All right, well, that leads perfectly then into the next question. How much money do we want to spend in that R3 spot? Because Jordan Sweet is someone that I've spoken about a lot in the preseason. I think since Soldo's fit and fire and he's gone back to being like the number two dude, 187 grand more than a basement rookie, and there's Toby Conway as well from Geelong, only played one game last year, scored 48.
Mm-hmm.
He's 316 grand, so it's not like there's a 230k bloke around. Kind of changes your structure a bit. So I still have good old loyal servant Harry Barnett,
so do I,
sitting there. But do you reckon we could look at this spot? Because everyone just punts that spot. You're like, this could be a great way to kind of pivot and get a leg up on everyone else. It's someone that I think is going to make some cash. No early buy for either of them too.
Yeah. So where's Sweet playing these days?
Port. He got traded to Port with Soldo from Richmond.
Okay. Jeez. Thank God the preseason's here to answer some of these questions, mate. I must admit, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Right now, until 5 hours before bounce down round one, Carlton Richmond, I'll be. Oh, is that how it works?
I'm pretty sure that's the first game.
They're still kicking us off.
Nah, it must be different, obviously, because Carlton play. Maybe not. Hang on, I'll get the fixture up.
I'll decide then.
Thursday night, March the 14th.
Yeah, if there's any playing rookie R3, I'll lock them in. That's probably the way. A cheap one. Any rookie. And if not, I might just roll the dice on not having someone play. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Like, I think that's the way that everyone's leaning. I don't know. But there are a couple of how to, like, iterations of my team or like different players that I'm interested in that I'm, I could chop and change you, and it does free up the cash to get one of those dudes. Okay. So that's something that, like, I might even toggle like Harley Reid into my midfield, for example.
Got you.
Do something like that, because I'm like, oh, actually Alex Sexton, who's 380k, looks like he's going to be on the halfback flank. He's a good cheap target. So I think having like at least an idea in how you can make that cash to invest in one of those blokes is smart.
Yeah.
But it might just be the overthinker in me. Like,
and I'm a big have 30 players playing round one, because I think of that as like, that's money you're making.
You have to, I reckon.
Yeah,
and like,
I agree.
Usually there wouldn't be any years where I'd have less than 29 and the only one not playing would be that R3 spot. Yeah. So it's a tricky one, but yeah. For what it's worth, Conway looked, like I said, solid in the ruck today against Carlton. Yep, Deconing.
So what's he going to be going with him and Blitzov?
Stanley. Blitz didn't play much ruck.
Oh, he was roving last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. He was bloody all weirdo. Over the shop.
Yeah, he was.
Swiss Army knife. All right.
Yeah, I had the bloke. So.
Yeah, that's right. I forget you went down that route.
Yeah, it was a long year.
You've got a pretty stacked midfield. I don't have...
I've got a stacked back line, actually.
Oh, do you?
My midfield, I wouldn't call it so stacked at the moment.
Well, maybe we'll be batting pretty similar, but the next question I've got is, how many of these like top-tier, A-grade, blue-chip midfielders do you reckon you need to have?
What constitutes a blue-chipper?
Like a dude who you're like, I think he can, might not eventuate into, but can average 110.
Okay, like... because I haven't changed it since the injury, Rose. Like, do Walshy and Rosie count?
Rosie, I reckon, yep. Walshy averaged 110 before?
Not sure. You had him 1 or 2 years ago and he was looking all right.
I had him last year too, for what it's worth.
Look, I am currently sitting at... Well, my current thesis is that I think points are easier to find in the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're easier to find in the... Well, there's six to eight places that's easy to find in the back line.
Yep.
And we kind of know who they are going to be. Forward line, I got no idea. Like, literally, it's the biggest dog's breakfast up there. But I do feel like I would rather lock in the English, Marshall, Sicily, you know, Tom Stewart,
yep,
Dacos, and then try and find the money from the likes of the Carl Amons and,
yeah,
you know, like, I feel like every year there's one guy like Ben Keyes did it that 1 year where you're like, holy moly, you were worth nothing and now you're a top 10 player in the comp, like, and then he went away from it. But I feel like you can find those players every year if you're willing to sort of be a little bit flexible and you got to have a bit of cojones, you know?
Yeah, true. But I think, that's you are paying up, obviously, for what I would call like the same type, like blue chippers and A-graders in other lines.
Yeah.
So there might be some like higher security in paying for some of those blokes, people could argue. Like, they think that English isn't going to slip compared to Leedy or Brayshaw. But yeah, I think, I don't know why, it's probably the way that the team is formatted. I just love having four big guns across the top four. Is Carl Amon like fifth for you at the moment, or is he the fourth one?
He might be fourth.
Because I think most people would have like... a lot of people still have Bont
fourth
in their team as well. You know, like, they would have three minimum, I reckon. And I feel like that's like a safe number, but I just love having... Like, Steele's my fourth one at the moment.
Yeah.
And then it dips pretty hard to Wardlaw, but I think... Similar to the point you made before about how strong there is a lot of depth in the midfield, but that's obviously where we get our best scorers from as well. I was like, I'd love to have more of those dudes who I
except
think
last year.
Yeah, valid. Love to have a guy who I think is going to be that 110, 115.
Yep. Yep.
Which Romash and Tim English could very much do.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I totally agree. I've done it previous years. In fact, I think last year I probably had like seven in the midfield and no one anywhere else, you know, like, I'm that sort of guy. Yeah. But yeah, I think I'm just
against the grain.
I'm going to try and adjust my thoughts. I think the midfield is the most important line, but I feel like I can do a similar enough thing at the start of the season to then sort of, if all you have to focus on is, I mean, it's going to be the forward line, but if if every you get everything else sorted, like my back line right now, injuries, without injuries,
touch wood.
I don't have to touch, you know what I mean? So I, then I can sort of look for those valuable or the, buy those blue chips on the dip. Yeah.
It all, well, I was going to say it always happens. Doesn't always happen. But there are players that lose money. Like Leedy last year, for example. Exactly. There's always a couple that you can get that if they don't turn into like an A-grade keeper, you can... Like it's not a huge leap to get up to your Bonts of the world and such. So I think last quick question. Who do you think's like a lock in each of your lines? Because we'd have different players. Doesn't necessarily have to be the most expensive cat. But I think part of the reason why I came up with this question as I was preparing for the podcast, I was watching Kitty Coleman just take the piss. He was just like, he would be from me to you away. And he'd be like, yep, give me the footy.
Yeah, okay.
He got, I would say, like 20 plus touches, but they weren't all just like kicks. I don't think I saw him take a kick out. Like he was just everywhere.
Okay, so lots of mark kicks.
There's no Connor McKenna, a few people pointed out, but I'm like, I think it's clear they just want the footy in his hands. Yeah. So I'm not worried about that early buy. I'm locking Kitty Coleman in.
So he's your back lock.
Yeah, he's my back lock.
Oh,
22% of coaches agree at the moment. They've got him in their team, so not exactly a rogue one.
You what? I love the preseason for this exact thing. Just seeing the roller coaster of coaches it's being gnarly, like, "Let's all get on that bloke." Oh no, actually, he's the guy. But I reckon up back at Stakos, and I know that's a bit of a boring.
Yeah.
It's not a take, you know. It's a cold take. But yeah, I think Dacos is should be cut and dry the best backman.
I agree.
Do I have a more interesting one for you?
Nah, it can be Dacos. Like I said, yeah. you can go big line. What about in the midfield?
Rosie is my lock. Oh well, actually, George Wardlaw is my lock.
That's who mine was going to be.
Oh, sorry.
Nah, it doesn't matter. I think both of us can see value when it's there, and I think it was Jeppa, the other bloke who talks a lot about the rookies specifically, he was yarning about how George Wardlaw is like tracking pretty similar to what Clayton Oliver did, and I think he averaged like 92 or something stupid in his second year. I'm like, would not shock me. That's a huge leap, but like at least if he averaged like 85 straight off the bat, like burst out of the gates, if they really unleash him, he's got all the tools, looks clean. He seems like a legit stud.
Yeah, we did a bit of a break, you know, one of our nights where we were bored and we just got the bloody Your Fantasy side up on the screen and did a big deep dive. And Wardlaw, he just tackles so much and he marks so much. And like, so even if he's not getting the footy, he's got that nice high floor, which you need to have a good ceiling. So yeah, he would be my midfield lock, but otherwise Rosie, and he's...
Don't hate that.
Yeah, average 105 last year. I think he was clearly... He wasn't Port's best player, but he was clearly their best fantasy player. And Rosie's a better player, but Butters is going to get all the attention. He's the Brownlow medalist favourite. Rosie's one of those guys, a bit like Dusty. You're just like, oh, what can we... If he's gone, like, we can't do anything anyway. Like,
yeah, it's a pretty cool call.
Let's
reckon
just stop who we can know we can maybe stop.
He is probably a better footballer than Butters. I think I agree with you.
That's hard.
Really like splitting hairs. Yeah. I made a mistake. Clayton Oliver didn't average 92 in his second year. He averaged 101.
Yeah, there you go.
So we'd love to see George Boy jump up that far. But
I think he can.
Which rap do you have the most faith in? Which one's the lock? Marshall or English?
Tim for sure. Yeah.
Not worried about any concussion issues he's had in the past?
Not until right now. No, I think...
Just trying to be devil's advocate.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think anyone's stealing Tim's spot. He's so clean. We've said he's Cox 2.0, like better version of Dean Cox since we saw him as a rookie.
He is fucking good.
And he just went and did it last year. Rowan, don't get me wrong, is... I just feel like Rowan's more reliant on some other parts of his game going well, whereas I think Tim is just like hit outs, marks, disposals.
Tackles.
I don't know.
Kick outs.
I could be hurt. Like, it could be being a bit harsh on Rowe, but I think Tim's the lock, which again, boring. He's like the most expensive player in the game, dickhead. Like,
yeah, well, he's good for a reason. Yeah. He's expensive for a reason as well. Yeah. I think I'll go Grundy. Maybe you've scared me off a bit starting Max Gorn. Maybe I'll have to switch to Jerry, but no, I think Grundy's definitely the value play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Price so low because he was clashing, like trying to steal minutes from Gorney last year. Mm. Up forward, it is pretty tricky for me to find someone that I love. I would default to say like Taylor Adams, who has bounced positionally around spots, but has always been in my forward line since like the game opened.
Yep.
It's hard to go past Harley Reid, another obvious pick, but yeah. I think he's going to be as good as advertised. Who have you got?
Who are you? Do you have one?
I reckon I'll stick with Taylor.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take Tay Adams. I think he didn't play today, so it's tough to obviously gauge what his role is going to be, but I think he is going to get those like midfield minutes. He'll probably chop with Luke Parker, you know, between half forward and around
those
stoppages.
Those two should chop. I reckon they're perfect chop buddies.
Yeah.
You know? Don't know if that's is any sort of innuendo. Let's get on Urban Dictionary later. Check if I've gone a bit awry there. But
either way, I think, Tay Adams is probably my lock. He probably won't leave unless he's not named round one or comes out and stinks in the round zero game.
Gotcha. I reckon, I wouldn't say anyone's a bloody lock up forward. I would say that across the whole.
You can steal Harley Reid.
Nah, I think the one bloke least likely to leave my forward line at the moment is probably Sardis. Mm. Pretty, you know, and when you say he's a lock, like, oh my God, it's a risky lock. But it's probably him or, honestly, for the price, Finn McRae.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably the two most entrenched other than Harley. And then the rest kind of could go in or out or whatever.
I think the fact that we can't find a lock in the forward line, really, unless
Shea Bolton's
apart from a couple
fucking
of rookies,
good last
he is,
week, man.
He is bloody good. I think it's just speaks to how like many value options there are and how many different directions you can go in the forward line.
Yeah.
And a lot of things will probably change depending on how these players score round zero. Like Sammy Flanders comes out and gets 125. Heaps of people are going to bring him in.
Yeah.
I might not, but I might. But I still, if he does that. But I think there's still so much shit to play out before we actually lock in that team. There's a lot of other midfielders and obviously the ruck combos we've got. And even in the back line that I'm like, yeah, you're probably not moving. Like, that's pretty concrete.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. I did say that I crunched the numbers and found all the 30-year-olds in the AFL. I think I want to whiz through a lot of these names relatively quickly. I won't list every player. Maybe I will. But I think these guys, obviously, as soon as they tick over to 30 and you click on their player card and you see the 3 at the front number, you're like, do I really pick like Jack McRae, for example? Like some of these dudes who are like, are they a bit past it now? There's something about that 30 threshold from a fantasy player standpoint.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't feel it's too similar.
You don't?
Well, I don't feel like a lot of those guys are going to find heaps more improvement. But you know what? Travis bloody Boak did it, didn't he? There's heaps of people who do it. There's heaps of people who don't.
I think he's now the second oldest player in the AFL, Travis Boak.
There you go. Who's the oldest?
Pendles.
He's still playing. I lost track of that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't worry about it so much.
Maybe I'm trying to ham it up a bit more for the segment. But technically, it's Yegor Amira's 30th birthday tomorrow.
That's right. He's a year below me.
That means that he technically breaks the threshold as a 30-year-old. But I've gone back. I've done a crunch the numbers, like I said, and had a look at all the blokes who will be 30 by the end of the season.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, I misunderstood what this was.
And the cutoff was actually, he turns 30 in about October, is Ollie Wines. And it sounds like he's playing a lot in the midfield. I actually grabbed him in a keeper draft just because I think he provides a bit of depth. He might not start, but what do you reckon Ollie Wines is going to conjure up? Does it interest you from a fantasy standpoint?
What's he priced at right now?
He's probably more draft relevant because his price point's pretty tricky. One moment, please. I think if he's back in that midfield at 700, break even of 78...
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Still like, he averaged 77 last year.
Great
player. Playing as a forward and playing a bit outside on the wing at times.
If he's in that midfield, then I thought he would have been priced at say 90 or something. So
no. Okay. Did average 90, like, I think over his last 3-5 maybe, like the back part of the year. So yeah, I felt like he was worth mentioning.
Definitely a good mention
as well. Zach Williams is the bloke who will be last to turn 30 throughout the season. Serious value, obviously been real bagged up with Carlton since he arrived. Can we trust picking Zach Williams?
I'm not gonna.
I think if I wasn't picking Kitty Coleman, I'd be a lot more interested.
Yeah.
But having two dudes on that round two bye, I'm like, nah, that, like, plugging Curtin in for 1 week, fine, but
yeah.
I don't feel too confident picking both of them. So if I didn't have Coleman, I might change my tune a bit. But yeah, he's someone that I can just see, I don't want to speak it into existence, but like not lasting long.
Yeah, unfortunately, I feel a little bit the same.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's going to be hard-ish for him to get a ton of the footy with Nick Newman was unreal last year.
Right? Jordan Boyd, random Carlton defender that no one would be picking fantasy wise, but he linked up a lot in their play last year as well. Seems like they like him and are going to play him. Mm. Like, there's dudes that have established themselves down there, I think.
Yeah, so. And some of those, what's that young fellow who, Cowans, who they always
just
go,
got drafted? Yeah,
yeah, those sort of guys. Yeah.
All right, let's. I'm going to list them all. Alirelia,
nah.
Nick Hind, any interest draft wise?
No.
Nah. Nank.
Yeah.
Did like, what, average 104 last year?
Yeah, he was really good.
Do you reckon he like backs it up or probably dips?
I can't see why he would dip.
Yeah. Not that old. Again, like I was trying to make 30 sound like a death sentence, but.
We're 30, mate.
Yeah. Older, bruh.
Yeah, we're older than these guys.
Yeah, I think draft wise is a cheaper play. There's so much value in the rucks, as we said. Jack McRae is the next one.
Yeah, I think we're being a bit harsh on old J-Mac, but he's just they've just been so loaded in the midfield. They've clearly gone the Treloar over him.
And Libba, mainly.
I mean, Libba, I feel like Libba's just a lock. He's just so good in the midfield, but or in that in and under. I think they've gone Trell over J-Mac, and that's really hurt him. But Baz Smith being out could... I just really need to see him. I need to see him get the snaps and see where his position is. Because when he's good, mate, like... He had that, I think he even started the year last year continuing his run of 30
touchdowns.
Yeah,
that does sound right.
Like,
I'll double check that. But.
So bloody good. Such a fantasy beast, but he just had a bad 2 years, you know.
I actually did just trade him away in a keeper league. That's right. I promise this isn't the Sports by Fry keeper league draft, keeper league podcast. But yeah, last year he did come out of the gates with 107.
Yeah.
73, but then another 111. Dips a bit after that. But yeah,
gets
probably
ugly after that.
The best... highest priced forward for a reason.
Yep.
Next up, we got Tim Kelly. Do love, probably draft. Don't think you're picking him in classic.
Probably not.
Adzi.
Unless West Coast just boost, like get a lot better. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's a.
Adam Sard.
Nah.
Nah, didn't think so. Lockie Whitfield?
Tempting, but I just feel like there's more points to be had from other backmen and also just a bit safer.
Keep burning through because we're still in the 29-year-olds. I reckon we'll stop when we get to like a relevant character. We got Rory Atkins, Oscar McInerney, solid draft. Charlie Cameron kicked 5 today in like, I think it was 10 minutes into the second quarter.
Yeah, right.
Sammy Cullens, no. Tim Membry, no. Aidan Corr, no. Jake Stringer, probably not. Nah. Nick Vlosten?
Probably not.
Brody Grundy, we've talked, I think, about in circles with him. Jack Viney is the next one.
Wow.
He's not 30.
Is that... I would have thought he was 37,
He plays like he's a 200 gamer from like 20 games into his career.
I think he, in my mind, is like him and Nate Jones are the same person. And that like when Nate left, I was like, oh, no, he's still playing. He's definitely draft. And honestly, if Clayton's playing, probably not.
Yeah, puts the ceiling back on. Yeah. Camden McIntosh, Tom Cleary, Joe Danaher, and the aforementioned Jago O'Meara will not be picked.
No, definitely.
Maybe some draft leagues, but Brad Crouch is the first official 30-year-old on the list.
Wow.
Good player. I had him for a chunk last year. Everyone's tipping him to regress this year. I'm kind of banking on him
being the same.
Maybe going back to like 100, which I think he's about 103.
Because was he 105 last year?
Like 103 or 104, so
that's
not a huge dip.
That's what I'm banking on.
Rory Laird is the next one. Might have a bit of upside. Always seems to start the year slow and then end with a bang.
Mm.
Have you toyed with the idea of picking him?
You know, Not really.
He's in 13% of teams at the moment.
Yeah, maybe we might be sleeping on him. Might be underpriced, but yeah, I'd probably lean Sarong or Brayshaw in that price point.
Yeah, I think so too. Cogs is the next one. Shame he doesn't have forward status.
Yeah,
but
probably
won't come into many teams at all. No. Buse, Cunningham from the Swans, Nadad, Alex Sexton.
Yeah, you just mentioned him. So favourite players in the league.
Yeah, I'll give you the elevator pitch. He's apparently been training at halfback all preseason. Had a decent chunk of it today. Didn't use it great at times.
Mm.
And I wonder, like,
if that's a crap user.
That won't bode well for him staying there. But he would have had 15 touches in the first half.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of just like plus sixes as well. Not as good as Kitty Coleman, but he was still racking it up somewhat.
Well, look, with Sexton, mate. You know that he's going to come out just trying to prove himself. And I don't know the bloke. I hope he never hears this. But, like, he is the hungriest player in the AFL.
Yeah, I'm surprised he agreed to go to halfback.
Well,
loves a goal.
He does. I wonder if it's not... He doesn't care about the goals. He just cares about himself looking good.
Yeah.
Like, so, I just don't think... I'll just not enjoy having him on my team. Sorry, Alex. I'm sure you're a legend, but...
Yeah, no offense to the bloke. Yeah. Got to stick up for these other Alexes out in the world.
That's right, man.
Lincoln McCarthy won't be picked. Nope. Sammy Doherty?
Yeah, if you had back.
Yeah, he might get it throughout the year. He was playing fairly mid, I would say, but he might drift down there. You never know.
Yeah, if he gets DPP, yes. But
Jackie Crisp is another one that maybe if he had defender status from a few years ago would be on our radar.
I don't trust many... midfielders from Collingwood.
Nah, neither really. Yeah. McRae because he's cheap. That's about it.
Yep.
Elliot Yeo is the next one. In my team at the moment.
At the price point, I trust him. He's been in my team.
Off his bye, I'm pretty sure. Or like halfway through last year before he then got injured again.
Yeah, I think I did as well. That sucked.
We all get sucked in. Toby Green. Someone that you've been big on this preseason. What do you reckon we get from Toby Green?
Oh, I just think he's the most likely to... Of those sort of top... Is he probably top... five or six forward right now.
He'd be right up there.
Price-wise.
One moment.
He's the one I have the most faith in to do what he's being billed as 84 points, you know? Mm. You at least like know you're probably going to get it.
Great draft pick.
Great player,
Jakey Lloyd might be a bit behind it. Yeah. Taylor Adams I've spoken about a bit. Mason Wood helped you win a draft premiership last year, good old Mason Wood.
Yeah.
You pick him again this year?
No, it's funny that we looked at the Saints' best 22. He was on the bench. I was like, he should be on the... He's a great... Anyway, no, he's not getting... Not in classic.
Poor Mace. Will Hoskin-Elliott, Sam Frost, Adam Tomlinson, all not on the radar.
Nah.
Brandon Ellis is the next relevant name that pops up. Probably not be picking him. No. Tommy Mitchell's a bit past it now as well.
I just don't trust Collingwood midfield.
Yeah. Yep. Lachie Neal, sitting at 30 years old.
Man, I reckon we're all sleeping on him a little.
Just won the Brownlow.
He just won the Brownlow. It's not like he had a bad... He just had an average fantasy season, but you look back two seasons ago, he's the best player maybe. Like, I think we might be sleeping on him just a little. And that was their first year with Dunkley...
True, that's valid.
And was that
I
Ashcroft
think that Dunkley
last year?
Will go up a bit, but I don't know about Neil. That's an interesting one.
I don't know either, but I just suspect we might all have egg on our faces in round seven.
Tom Stewart is only a little bit older than Lachie Neal. Do you think that he... is he locked in your team?
He's not in my team, but I almost chose him as my lock. So I just thought that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Feels so good about Tom Stewart. Good on you if you have him in there.
Yeah, I got him sitting in the large fries.
There's a high chance I literally roll with six blue chip backmen and Tom Stewart's my six.
That would be a tactic.
That would be fun.
Adzi Treloar is the next one.
Great pick.
I've skipped over a couple of 30-year-olds. I'm not going to reel everyone's name off, but we're diving into the 31-year-olds now. Nick Newman is sitting there. Didn't realise he was that old, to be honest. I feel like he was in his mid to late 20s because he wasn't at the Swans for long.
I would have picked... that's about right for me.
I think he might like be a fringe... end of the year with a fucking
he might be
bang
the best
last
backman.
Year. He might end up being like, top three or four defenders, but I just don't think I have the balls to start with him anyway, especially with around two bye. But
that's a watch for me. Yep.
Yeah, someone I might target in drafts. Jason Johannesson, also another bloke that's unfortunately a bit past it. Jared Witts falls in the same basket.
Yeah.
Cam Guthrie... Some people were interested in throughout the preseason, but don't know how serious it was, but hurt his quad literally the first kick of the game.
Yeah, and like he went down. Like, I don't know why I feel like quads are dodgy.
Tricky one at 31 years old to diagnose.
That's younger than I would have picked for Cam Gough.
Yeah, same. Another bloke like Viney, I think he's been 35 for a decade.
Yeah.
Jared Lyons looked good today in the scratchy. No Lockie Neal, so that's why. Gaffey and Darling are right next to each other. Wonder if they have the same birthday. Don't think you're picking either of them. But Tom Liberatore is the next relevant name up there. He's had some big fantasy seasons.
Also helped me win a draft premiership.
Had a great one last year.
In fact, I think he won it for me.
He's probably the one that I'm like, Bont might go forward. McRae, we don't know what's going on. I don't expect Liver's role to change at all.
No, exact same.
It's not like he's 37. Like he's 31. He's probably still got another good season in him, at least maybe two or three.
Yep.
So I don't think I'll be picking him. But again, like you said, 1 year draft league last year. So.
There's one of those blokes we're talking about. You could pick him and just be like, that's what he's going to get.
Yeah.
And feel safe about it.
There's not many other 31-year-olds that I want to reel off. And we start to get to the dregs now that we hit 32. Not too many more left.
Okay.
But is there any interest in Mitch Duncan?
No.
Yeah, no. I think too injury-prone at this point. Dusty up forward, some people are picking, but...
Nah. Nah.
Nah?
Nah.
Don't be silly. I won't ask you Nat Fyfe, the 32-year-old.
No, if he's playing in the midfield and stuff, like, definitely play him. But, nah, I just don't have the balls. Not right now.
Maxi Gawn is the really only other relevant 32-year-old. No offense to Mark Bixarves and Taylor Duray. But yeah. I think you can still trust him at 32.
Yeah.
But I don't, there's not much fuel left in the tank with Gawny, so.
Yeah, he's not moving around very well.
He's not. Some of these dudes you might target in draft, but I thought it would be worth a shout out anyway. Rory Sloan, injured at the moment, but he always scores well when he's playing midfield.
Yeah. He's a shout in my mind to get defender too.
Yeah, one he'll pick up something, right?
Yeah.
Paddy Dangerfield, he might do it as well. Might get forward if they take him out of the midfield a bit.
Nah.
Not in on danger?
Nah, no interest at all.
What about Tex Walker, the big Texan, 33?
No.
Has scored in like at times in the past, but again, I kind of agree with you. I think he's past it.
Yeah. He's not past it. As a footy player.
Yeah, very valid.
He's actually good.
He's ripping form.
I'm killing it.
Jeremy Howe's on the list. Not picking him.
Nah.
And shout out to Steel Sidebottom and Michael Walters. But I don't think they'll be getting love anytime soon.
Unfortunately,
for fantasy coaches. Nah. Only 6 blokes, 34 or older in the AFL at the moment.
That's it.
I've given you a couple. Do you want to try and guess the others?
Oh, fuck. We could be here all day.
You can turn it down.
You gave me who? Boken.
Pendles. Pendles is the oldest player in the league. There are 3 other 35-year-olds. One of them just got traded. It's a ruckman.
Nah, I don't know, mate.
Todd Goldstein.
Oh, yep. Okay. Yep. How could I
35, so I wonder how long... it might be a Sam Mitchell type operation where he plays for a year and then they end up making him the ruck coach or something.
Dusty? No, you've already said him. No, I don't know, mate.
We've got Tom Hawkins.
Ah,
from Geelong.
Yep.
Dane Zorko.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Who does still look like Dane Zorko and run around all over the place.
Great player.
Don't sleep on him in a draft with one of your last couple of bench picks, maybe.
Agree.
And Zach Tui, who no fantasy podcast will have talked about. So shout out to Zach Tui.
ZT.
The only 34-year-old currently, as of today, in the AFL.
Wow. There's something to hang your hat on.
So there's not many 30-plus-year-olds that interest... fantasy coaches, but like I said, there's still some names out there that might become draft relevant.
At least for sure.
We went through the list anyway.
Well done, mate.
How excited are you on a scale of 1 to 10 for basketball to resume tomorrow? Before we wrap up,
look, I'm being a plump, comfortable Denver fan who's just coming off a chip, saying, "I don't care, just get me to the playoffs, mate." But nah, it'd be nice. There's a lot of things to look at.
Do you know who the Nuggies have coming out of the break?
No, I don't actually. Who have we got?
I don't know. I was just asking out of curiosity. Nah. I'm pretty sure the Cavs play Orlando tomorrow.
Okay. That's a tough game.
Nuggies have the Wizards.
Okay. Come, boys.
Last game to tip off. I don't think there's bloody 14 games on tomorrow. Jesus.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Nuggies Wizards will get a lot of airtime.
No.
All right. Next time we sit down, I'm sure there will be Nuggies and Cavs to talk about. But thanks for jumping on the mic. Chatting AFL fantasy. on a Thursday evening. Till next time, Chippy Windy.
Yeah.